When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Witty catchphrase to start pod.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the TFA Dino Show. I'm Robbie Jeffries, and we have a full house tonight. Tom, welcome back. Excited to have you here with me. He is my normal co-host. For those who have been wondering where he's at, he's been rocking his own stuff, living life. But we also have Christian Welch, fellow TFAer here at the Fantasy Authority. Guys, we have a busy, busy show. We're going to basically dive through a lot of the free agents. We've had some news that's come out already. And we have some news that's going to be coming out the rest of this week and leading up to free agency that officially starts on Wednesday, March 16th, with the tampering period happening Monday the 14th. So, you know, we always get news out Monday and Tuesday before it officially starts. But, yeah, Tom, haven't seen you in a hot second. How we doing?
I'm good. How have you been, man? I feel like it's been too long.
Just been holding down the pods, doing them solo. I don't like doing solo pods. I don't know how Christian does it on our Devi side. He rocks at it. I dislike it.
I don't know. I apologize for my long absence. I know everybody was obviously very upset. I got many letters. And Christian, how do you do a solo pod anyway?
You just got to get in the zone, man. After the intro, you're just reading and you're staring at the computer screen. You may have an imaginary friend in the room, but you just get in the zone, man. You get in the zone. That's why I try to keep it 20 minutes or so. I'd imagine the whole hour by yourself would get lonely, but 20 minutes, you can kind of look at it like running the mile back in high school, college, whenever, you know, just kind of push through it. You know, you hit that kind of groove and you just coast.
Took you 20 minutes to run a mile?
Well, I mean, I was in worse shape in high school than I am now, so it may have.
Christ.
Tom, are you done shuffling stuff on your desk? I don't know.
No.
If you'd like the listeners to hear that.
I think I'm going to keep it up. I had to move my mic. It's been so long. I was like, why is it tilted like that?
Well, Christian and I will count your hand strikes on the desk. That will be audible for all the listeners. They're going to be excited about some of those because we are going to talk a little bit of Eagles when we get to some of their – they don't have as many free agents, but I think they might be looking at some free agents. But – guys, I want to start out with what matters to you with our question of the day here. What matters to you guys in free agency? Are there certain trends that you guys look at?
Guaranteed money, man. That's about it. As far as like the positions, it's anything. It's you want a running back to go to a team with a good line, they're going to run the ball. Wide receivers to be attached to good quarterbacks. I think that's all good common sense that we value our players based on that anyway. So it's not like a huge deal there, but as far as like what they're doing, I want them to get some guaranteed money. So I know that they're going to be there for a little bit. They have some job security because if you get a wide receiver who's getting paid, you know, $18 million his first year, or Mike Williams situation, he just signed another deal, you know, $28 million in year one, he's going to get the damn ball. You know what I mean? It's not like they're just going to be like, oh yeah, he's not really part of our plans. They're going to funnel those players the ball. So guaranteed money.
I used to think that way, but I mean, we saw some pretty outlandish contracts last year to where a lot of people were following the money, you know, Jonnu Smith, you know, Hunter Henry right after that, and Nelson Aguilar. I mean, the Patriots spent $100 million there.
Just the Patriots offense in general.
Yeah. Like all those were bad. So like following the money's tough, and there's always an adjustment going from scheme to scheme. So it's hard to really get too excited about a fit as well. Like last year, I think we had pegged everyone to be the Kansas City wide receiver too. We went through just about everybody. It didn't happen. So I really try to just consume free agency as a fan. I mean, today was what it was all about, isn't it? We didn't even get to Monday yet. Like Monday, once the legal tampering starts, it's going to be fun. But today, man, I'm at work and there was a good two straight hours today around the lunch hours where it was just nuts. Like you couldn't take your eyes off of what was going on. So I really just like to consume this time of the year as a fan and then make my adjustments afterwards as I see the depth charts filling out.
Yeah, Christian, I don't want to give away too much, but I am excited to dive into Cam Robinson franchise tag when that news hit my news feed. So we'll definitely lead off the conversation starting with him.
Now, Robinson,
a little bit for this conversation, because I think it'll help our listeners if we kind of let them know, you know, who has money, who doesn't have money, what does this look like? And so the top five teams with cap space are the Chargers with $56 million, Dolphins with $51 million, Jets $48 million, the Colts with $42 million, and then the Jaguars with $38 million. And then if we look at it from the flip side, who does not have money, who still needs to clear cap space just to get under the cap, that would be the Packers with 45 over the cap, Saints as well, 45 over the cap, my Cowboys with $23 million over, and Rams at 20 and Bucks at 16. So a lot of these playoff teams are looking to find ways to get cash, but that's not necessarily meaning they can't make some moves. I know a list of these players have already been signed, notably with the Packers and then a franchise tag with the Bucks. So I think we should just dive into it. We have a lot of players to get to. So let's start right there with the quarterbacks. And I think the big news that came out today, you know, aside from that Cam Robinson franchise tag, was Russell Wilson being traded, right, guys? We see news that a couple days ago that the Commanders had offered multiple picks. It came out that it was three firsts for him. Seahawks turned that down, but they finally get a deal done. The Seahawks, that is, today with the Denver Broncos. So Russell Wilson going to the Denver Broncos. Coming back to the Seahawks is Noah Fant, Drew Lock, two first-round picks, two second-round picks. I think it was a fifth-round pick as well. Tom, going with you first, you know, what are your thoughts here, at least from Russ's side and then the Denver Broncos side in general and some of those other players?
So he's probably going to have one of the better offensive lines that he's ever had, and he's still going to have weapons that he can throw to. He's got a good running back again, so hopefully we can see Russ cook a little bit there. My first thought, initial thought, was thank God I didn't trade Jerry Jeudy in a bunch of leagues, because now we have a quarterback and we can see what he's going to do, right? So I feel like that was most people's reaction, including Jerry Jeudy's on Twitter, if you saw that. That was fantastic. I'm excited for that offense in general because, you know, going back 2 years ago, Robbie, you knew I was excited about the Denver offense because of the weapons that they had, and they just needed a quarterback. So they have their quarterback, and let's go. That FC West is going to be a bit of a mess to figure out, but it's going to be fun to watch.
No, absolutely. The quarterbacks in that division are really scary. And Tom, kind of going to your point, I did a Dynasty Buys video, and these were players I wanted to advocate for people to do before we got to free agency and kind of, I guess, before we got to here today as we record on Tuesday. And one of those buys was Jerry Jeudy. You know, if he can just get a quarterback, I thought was some of my reasoning for that. And we know that they've struggled with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock kind of at the helm. Brandon Allen, I think, for a couple games here and there. So I'm agreeing there with that stock up for a lot of those guys. Christian, how about you? Either thoughts on Russell Wilson or maybe some of those other pieces?
Yeah, well, my day watching it unfold was a lot like Jerry Jeudy's. You know, the news about Aaron Rodgers staying with Green Bay was first. And, you know, for a while, we've had Aaron Rodgers pegged to go to Denver, you know, and I feel like a lot of those assets, you know, like buying Jeudy, you know, buying Sutton, buying Fan, a lot of that has been people, you know, planning on Rodgers getting to Denver, you know. So seeing that Rodgers was staying in Green Bay at first, I was like, well, man, that kind of the Denver thing's dead already. That's a bummer. And as I'm in chats or whatever, talking about Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay, boom, here's Denver getting Russell Wilson, you know. So, I mean, you just want to talk about a whirlwind of emotions. And we saw it from the player side too with Jerry Jeudy's tweets, you know, just a total low blow that you're stuck with Drew Lock, and then pow, here's Russell Wilson. So just crazy. As a fantasy football guy, it's to see that many players impacted that in that fashion in one day is just crazy. I tweeted out as all that was happening, you know, that everyone's going to forget about this Mike Williams contract. It happened literally 2 minutes before the Wilson news dropped, right after the Rodgers. It was just sandwiched in there, and he's getting $28 million in this year. So that's just crazy. But no one's going to talk about that. Today was about the quarterbacks moving. And I mean, this is exciting for Russell Wilson and for fantasy football, having this type of big shakeup.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Aaron Rodgers news as well. And that's where we're going right now. You know, it's reported that he has a 4-year deal for $200 million, so going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. He kind of disputed that on Twitter, said he's staying with the Packers. the deal isn't quite what was reported. I honestly just think that's Rodgers being Rodgers. Like, we know that over the next couple years, the Packers are always going to feel like he might leave. He's going to do something to make them feel kind of nervous. But, you know, it looks like we have a little bit of a solidified deal here with Rodgers, where he's locked up at least for, I'd say, probably 2 or 3 years. Maybe that last year is a void year or something like that. But, you know, Tom, back to you again. Rodgers was kind of a guy that I was, hey, he's kind of at the twilight. He's considering retirement. I'm going to lower him in these dynasty rankings, kind of like how I've had Tom Brady the last couple of years. Tom Brady's producing as a QB1, but could be done any year. Now I kind of feel a little bit more safe, where he's probably jumping back into that Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, you know, maybe even Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk Cousins more than others, but that kind of range. Where, do you have him there? Do you have him higher because of his ceiling, even though he is, what, 5 years older than some of those guys?
They're going to play at an elite level, you know, until they're done, and then they're going to be gone. So if you have them, you have to basically be prepared to take that hit when they go. So, you know, draft a young quarterback on your roster, have somebody to replace him, but just enjoy that ride there, because he's going to be giving you, you know, top five seasons until he's done playing, in my opinion.
Robbie, I'm glad you transitioned to that, because as the Rodgers deal unfolded, that's the immediate conversation I was having. I was somebody that was like, this really doesn't change his value to me that much. I still feel his place within the quarterback landscape is about the same. And I started going through it. I mean, we know we have the 7 up top, right? Then Deshaun Watson's lingering out there. That's 8, right? Russell Wilson today, he's probably jumping up to that 9 spot with this move, right? Then you have Matt Stafford, the other veteran. There's 10 guys right there, right? Then you're getting, is Rodgers the next guy? And here's the thing. Like, I feel in an already existing league, if you're a playoff team, yeah, Rodgers is your next guy. But I think if you're doing a startup today, that you're still going to see Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and maybe Trevor Lawrence all go ahead of Rodgers. So I feel like in an already existing league, he's probably sitting around QB10. But in a startup, I bet he's going QB13. So if I was putting out fresh rankings for a startup, I would have him at QB13 as of today.
Yeah, as soon as you draft him, his value, it goes up, basically. I feel like before you draft him, it's like, all right, yeah, now I might want to draft these other guys. And then it's his value goes up because of the production value he's going to give you.
Yeah, so I think that's obvious with startups, right? The startups, you're not going to draft a 38, 39, whatever he is, quarterback. I guess my thought is, and I'm kind of balancing this, guys, is if you're talking about these playoff teams, because are you trying to target, you need a quarterback, right? You just lost Tom Brady. You have some assets that you can maybe move. Are you targeting an Aaron Rodgers, or are you targeting a Russell Wilson? Because what it sounds like is you guys have Russell Wilson a little bit higher, and maybe that's the longevity piece that's obviously going into it. I'm not sure. I think I might still have Aaron Rodgers higher than Russell Wilson if we're talking about a team that's either right there or obviously competing with getting the 110, 112, whatever it is. If are you guys kind of on that same page, or would you guys still take Russell Wilson because he gives you close to that ceiling, or he could with this new landing spot?
Yeah, and obviously this is before the news today, but I'm in a startup now, and over the past week, both of them have been taken, and Russell Wilson went in the 3rd round, and Aaron Rodgers went in the 7th round. So there was about a 4-round gap in startup value, at least in the draft I was in this week, between them. And a lot of that isn't production. I mean, Rodgers is coming off back-to-back MVPs. It's the, you know, what, 6-year age gap there between Rodgers and Wilson. So that's what you're looking at there. But to your question, is Rodgers a guy that I'm buying? You know how I operate, Robbie. Like, I don't care who the name is of the player that I have. I want the value, and I operate within tiers, and I'm very price dependent. So if I'm all those players I brought up after those top 8, you know, the 3 veterans with Russ, Stafford, and Rodgers, and then the three rookies from last year in Lance and Fields and Trevor, I am 100% taking the value on the veterans there, because I mean the startup cost is different. Like I said, Trey Lance and Justin Fields, you're having to take those guys earlier than Stafford and Rodgers, but those guys are not outproducing Stafford and Rodgers anytime soon. So at the price and with the production that I'm going to get right now, as somebody that never really wants to take a year off from winning, I am 100% taking the discount on those veterans that are going to allow me to win right now over taking the shot of having, you know, a 10-year career. People get too caught up and, oh, I'm going to have this guy for 10 years and forget you're trying to win the league the next 2 to 3 years, you know? So I'm going to take the 3 veterans here over those 3 young guys, but I wouldn't be surprised at startups if you continue to see those 3 young guys go ahead of those 3 vets. But I'll be the one kicking back and taking those vets later and winning the league.
Yeah. Let's move to a guy that you mentioned there as you were going down the rankings there, and that's Deshaun Watson. His legal proceedings are kind of ongoing. We just got some news that actually on Friday he's going to have or at least be deposed, right, have a deposition, probably going to plead the fifth, probably won't have, you know, probably won't speak, but he does have 10 criminal complaints against him. Those range from sexual assault to just attempted sexual assault. And I think there's a pretty good chance where by Friday or the next week, we could have actual criminal charges from that Harris County DA office. And so I'm kind of interested in what you guys are doing, because a lot of these other fantasy sites that I'm listening to, these dynasty sites, all the way up from the top ones, they're talking about how Watson, you know, might miss a couple games. You know, they're ranking him right there. Like you had said, I think you had said eight. They're ranking him in their top 10. I'm a lot more pessimistic on this situation. I mean, in my opinion, and I'm curious to get your guys's, there's just too many complaints at this point that if there's a criminal charge, and let's just say it's just three of them, that's going to drag on, and he's not going to be playing while criminal charges are going on, in my opinion. So it almost is like a Calvin Ridley situation where I don't see him playing 2022. And then what if it's a guilty verdict, then it's, you know, multiple, you know what I mean? Like, I just think this could explode out of proportion. I'm almost in the camp of, I want to sell Watson, which I don't have, but if I did have him, I want to sell him yesterday. Tom, going to you, what are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, I think right now, everything's coming up on Friday, so we're going to get a lot of news about Deshaun Watson in, you know, very quickly. His lawyers are going to push for everything to get settled very quickly. If we get criminal charges, they're going to push for the trial to be done very quickly. That's when you might see him actually settle. I don't think he has any interest in settling because he thinks he's innocent at this point. Otherwise, I feel like he would have just taken the hit financially.
I'm going to jump in there real quick because I like where you pointed out to a settlement, because that was another thing that these sites are saying. They're saying, oh, you know, it's probably going to end in a settlement. The only problem is there's 10 complaints. You know, there's 22 civils, which is a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. There's 10 criminal complaints. So that eight of them can settle and two of them can still go. That's a lot of settlements, for lack of a better word. It almost feels like if he's going to be playing on a team next year, it's going to be the Mean Machine team, right? Christian, do you have other thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. Like, we're already a year into this, right? Like, he already missed all of last year. So, like, when we were looking at this a year ago, we're already a year into the dealing with him not playing and not presenting that value. So, in my opinion, he's more valuable today than he was a year ago. He's also cheaper today than he was a year ago. And my thing with him is he has even more youth on his side than the Russell Wilson and Stafford we were talking about below Rodgers. If he had no legal issues, this is without question a top 3 to 5 dynasty quarterback, right?
Yep.
So to me, the upside, if he plays, is so high, it's almost worth the risk, right? You compared him to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's not going to step on a field again until he's 29. And I don't care what anyone says. Once he turns 30, his dynasty value's done, right? Like, what's DeAndre Hopkins worth right now, right? He's an all-timer, and look where he's worth just because he's in his 30s now, right? So Calvin Ridley has literally 1 year of dynasty shelf life once he is playing again. Quarterbacks play a pretty long time, right? We're talking Aaron Rodgers, 38, 39 years old. Russell Wilson's moving teams today at 33, and we're still excited. Like, Deshaun Watson's a long way from 33. So we are looking at much more than 1 year of production you're getting if he ever sees the field again. And again, it's not wide receiver two production. We're talking top five quarterback in the league production. Mm-hmm. So with him, the upside is just so tremendous, and the youth is there. To me, it's worth the risk already being a year into him being off the field. Like I said, there's less risk now because we're already a year elapsed into it, and he's actually cheaper than he was a year ago. So I'm back in, and kind of to my point earlier, operating in tiers, I said we got an elite 7, right? That 8 to 14 range is one big tier, depending on if you prefer the youth or prefer the veterans. He fits in there somewhere. Whether you have him at 8 or 14, pretty similar value. It's not really that big of a difference there in that tier to me.
All right, let's move on to kind of the last trade name, if you will, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Has off-season shoulder surgery. You know, probably going to be back for training camp. We don't know, but that's his expectation. You know, I feel like this is going to be a situation where teams are going to wait on this. They're not going to want to trade for him until they can see him do some stuff. It might be, hey, what teams missed out on the top rookies? What team had their starter get injured. I feel like the Bucks kind of come to mind because, right, they have a later pick and they just lost Tom Brady. Maybe the Seahawks as they do a bridge quarterback in this rebuild. Tom, do you have any trade thoughts of where Jimmy Garoppolo can go? And then if you do, would you try and acquire him? Is this a guy that, hey, I need a QB2. Can he be that QB2 for you?
I'm going to pass on Jimmy G, but I feel like he's got just like Washington written all over him. Yeah. Like I just look at his face and I'm just like, you're a commander. That's what you are.
Cause you see that all the time. Cause we've had commanders around for all of 3 months now, 2 months.
Yeah. So that's what I feel like he's going to be one of those guys where other teams miss out on QB upgrades. Like we've seen, look at what quarterbacks go for. Russell Wilson just went for what he went for. Stafford went for 2 first-round picks. Carson Wentz went for conditional second. Yeah. The Commanders have Garoppolo or Wentz written all over them, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so crazy how fast that value changes, even in Dynasty. Like, remember in week 3 when Sam Darnold was worth, like, 2 firsts again? Everybody was excited. Yeah. That's great.
What have you done for me lately? That's where you can get tripped up. Also where you can get a lot of value, Christian, and that's the way you do it. So, guys, let's kind of wrap up the quarterbacks of these other free agents. Or you mentioned Carson Wentz, who has technically not been released, but I think the GM has basically said, yeah, we don't want him anymore. So I think that's probably coming. You guys got the names in front of you. Who else you guys want to touch on? Who do you think could be a value that people need to try and acquire before they land that starting job, before that news drops on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
I think we see a lot of people trying to get Trubisky here because he could be a starter somewhere. He could be a bridge quarterback. I'm seeing reports that the Giants might want him to go in and compete with Daniel Jones. So he's somebody I might be targeting. I think Winston re-signs with the Saints. Mariota, that's another one who could be a bridge quarterback. Cam Newton can, you know, go to the moon, whatever. Andy Dalton, you can go with him in the same spaceship. It's fine. But those three quarterbacks would be I would have interest in getting them.
Yeah, Trubisky, who's I was going to say as well. I mean, it seems like he's going to end up with a starting job out of this. Like, you know, you've got Washington swinging. You've got Pittsburgh swinging. Seattle now has a top 10 pick with a quarterback need. So, I mean, and here's the thing with this rookie class. Like, I know we like Malik Willis a little bit. I like Matt Corral, but like how many of these guys are getting a starting gig in year one? You know, like we're going to see Jimmy G and Mitch Trubisky start some games this year. I just think if you're a fan of any of these teams that need a quarterback, you don't really want to, you know, be stuck with the consolation prize this time. Those guys aren't going to get you excited.
And I am really interested to see what Seattle winds up doing at the quarterback position because they got Drew Lock, which is something we didn't really hit on too much. I don't think that's the starter there. They're in quarterback territory, but they're clearing a bunch of cap space. They just released Bobby Wagner, saving $16.6 million. They lose the Russ contract. There's rumors that they could trade DK Metcalf because they don't want to pay him. Clearly, they're in a big rebuild.
Tyler Lockett, too. You've heard the Tyler Lockett rumors. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. But are they going to try and acquire a quarterback?
It does feel like quarterback there, just looking at it. But we know that Pete Carroll knows to win a Super Bowl, you need your quarterback on a rookie contract. Like, you know, he did it with Russ. Like, he of all coaches you think would know, I've got to wait a year or two to draft the quarterback on this mess. So I think they know better and won't do it there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Seattle is going to be one of those teams where everybody's like, what are they going to do? So I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, I think the name that you hit on that most people are talking about right now is Mitch Trubisky, and I feel like that's going to inflate his value where people are going to ask for maybe that early second for him or that mid-second just because they know, hey, he's going to have a shot. Even if it is the Giants, you know, he has that knowledge with Dable. Maybe he can beat out Daniel Jones, which wouldn't be the biggest stretch of the imagination. So I'm curious. I'm kind of holding off on those prices. The one guy I am interested in is Jameis Winston, who is actually kind of a mid QB2, had 17 points per game when he was healthy last year with the Saints. I don't know where the Saints find the money or if he goes somewhere else, but Jameis Winston is the one name that we didn't really hit on that I'm kind of interested in. If I'm a contender and that, you know, early 202, 203 team, they want to move this quote unquote older quarterback, this retread off of their team. I feel like he's going to be in that value where you're going to be staring down a a Sky Moore type of wide receiver? Would you rather take the shot on a guy who's going to be a solid QB2 in Superflex or one of these unproven rookies? I might lean at Winston.
How could they resist after those fire workout videos he's been dropping? You know, and Jameis is another guy I feel for years has been linked to the Steelers just because he's a big, dumb quarterback like Big Ben. Back Big Ben, they're like, man, this guy's perfect to play here. So, you know, maybe they flirt a little bit, but they've been linked in the past. But yeah, man, those workout videos are something. So
cool. Well, let's move to the running backs. I think the one trade that I wanted to talk about, because we've seen Saquon not live up to his rookie season where he absolutely lit it up. He hasn't been the player that we wanted, and a lot of that's obviously been due to injury. This last year came off the injury, but even still, never really got it going. The offense was spluttering. Do you guys see him sticking around? There's been some rumors. Could he go here? Could he go there? A couple, you know, hey, can he go to the Bills? Do you guys think that Saquon is a guy that would be moved, and if so, where would he go? And is that a guy that you guys would maybe look to target, because his value is way suppressed from where we saw where he was the running back one and then kind of fell to the running back five. Now I'd say he's probably a low-end running back one around there. Christian, let's go to you first.
Well, he plays running back, and he's not a rookie, so no, I'm not buying. But if he was going to get traded, I mean, it screams that Buffalo would be the place. I mean, they have a little bit of a need. Devin Singletary really did look good at the end of last season, but with Brian Daboll coming over from Buffalo to New York, you know, I think he's aware that the Giants' winning window is not as close as the Bills, and a swap of Barkley going to Buffalo with Singletary plus coming back to New York could benefit both parties. And with the familiarity there, I wouldn't be shocked if it happened, but outside of the Bills, I think it's a long stretch.
I don't think he's going anywhere. And give me, Breece Hall on a rookie contract over Saquon and then having to repay him a million times over that. So I don't think Saquon's going anywhere, and you guys can keep him.
You guys see him out on Saquon. I feel like I'm still in because I'm just so stuck on what he was as that prospect so many moons ago. You know, what is he, 25 right now? So I agree where you can get younger, and he's the perfect type of running back, Christian, like you're saying, where you normally flip that running back, get 2 or 3 years younger.
I'll take Breece Hall straight up right now.
Yep, exactly. And Breece Hall would be the one person that I would have over him. But I think there's certain players that people will say that, hey, you know, Spiller's right there, or some of these other rookies, or maybe somebody from last year's class. And I don't know. I'm stuck in on him for maybe one more year. But let's talk about the rest of these running backs. There's a ton out here. Guys, I want you to just hit on some that you guys are interested in. Maybe give me a landing spot, maybe what you would like to see them at and what that does for their dynasty value. Christian, let's hit you first.
Well, I mean, as a Falcons fan, I want to know what we're doing there. I mean, last year we brought in Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, two pretty unexciting names, and we didn't even know Cordarrelle Patterson was a running back at the time. You know, and he puts up a good season, so that was something. For me, it's more about the teams. You know, I want to see what Atlanta does, and I want to see what Miami does. You know, Miami's been rocking that weird running back by committee and, you know, new coaching staff. I want to see who Miami brings in. As far as the individuals, like all these guys, like you know how much I hate the running back position. And like once they're 25, they're dead to me in fantasy. Like, I don't want to talk about Leonard Fournette and James Conner.
You're like, done. I can move on. I can go to Tom right now.
I'm useless to this conversation. They're all dead to me.
I'm somewhat on the same page, man. Like, you're going to – the running back market, everybody's going to get underpaid. I could see Denver bringing back Melvin Gordon and ruining people's dreams just because that's typically what happens, you know what I mean? I could see the Bills bringing in maybe Leonard Fournette for, you know, a cheap deal, one-year deal. But again, why are you going to spend money on these running backs before the draft, before you can see how it shakes out? So somebody's going to do it, obviously, and they're going to get dumb money, but I'm not spending a lot of money on any of these running backs. And to me, that means their landing spots probably aren't going to be that great.
I'm going to grab the host hat from Robbie real quick and throw it over to Robbie to talk about Ronald Jones and why he's going to be the guy we should be pursuing this offseason.
Such a stud. Can he also talk about Sony Michel? Just because, you know, if we have a knife, might as well stab him repeatedly with it, not just once.
You know what's funny about this list is that I get it. You guys are throwing him away, and that's fine. You know how good James Conner was this year, and he changed teams from Steelers to Arizona, right? You would have had the same mindset, right? Just a year younger. He was 25. Now he's 26. You would have said, nope, I don't care about James Conner. He's a top 6-7 running back. Leonard Fournette, same situation. He's a top 12-ish back. Chase Edmonds obviously had injuries. Rashad Penny has an all-star last four games. Sony Michel has a stretch too. So I guess what I'm saying to you guys is these are guys that you can absolutely add for cheap as depth pieces when that starter goes down or it looks like their situation's murky. All of a sudden, Leonard Fournette is getting, you know, 7 catches a game and 20 carries. Like there's going to be two or three of these guys that absolutely land in a great spot. And I think it's just kind of worth figuring out which one. And I agree with you, Christian, where I'm not paying top dollar for him, but you don't have to pay top dollar for Rashad Penny, Ronald Jones, you know, other than me and Jay Mike, I think everybody's done with. But if Ronald Jones goes to the Falcons, he's only 25 years old. You're telling me that's not an interesting situation where he's a better talent than Mike Davis was. And we were upping Mike Davis into, you know, hey, he's going to get 250 touches, which ended up not happening, but there's going to be somebody that falls into a good situation. It's trying to figure out who's the best talent and maybe what's a team that has the money to make a good fit for him.
So Penny's an interesting one to me. And his team that he's leaving, the Seahawks, is – I don't know why I feel like Leonard Fournette's going to be a Seattle Seahawk. I have that weird inkling. They're going to have money. I feel like
– they've got their old – wants to go to a losing situation, though.
Well, he got his ring, right? So if he's going to get paid – Seattle can pay him the money. Now I think they have close to $50 million in cap space because they just released Bobby Wagner, at least 50. So I don't know. That's a weird one. But Penny's the most intriguing one on this list for me because you saw what he did the last couple games. He doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires, even though he's been injured, but he can possibly, you know, turn his career around with a different team. So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. It's the balance of, do you want the tread on the tires or do you want the guy who the car doesn't start most of the time so the wheels, you know, don't leave the driveway. Right. That's the big thing with Rashad Penny versus maybe a Melvin Gordon. You know, just for some discourse here, you know, I think one of these guys will go to the Dolphins. I think one of these guys will go to the Falcons. Maybe a Jets guy to compliment Michael Carter. You know, I didn't love the Seahawks one because I feel like they already have that old back in Chris Carson, so they're going to look to the draft. So I'm looking at these teams that have maybe a younger 1A or 1B back, and who can they get the vet in to kind of supplement them. So I do think there's going to be some interesting names in here. It's tough to project which one, but for me, I like Ronald Jones just because obviously I've been a supporter of him for a long time, and I think if he gets the opportunity, when he has gotten the opportunity, he's produced. It's just he wasn't liked by Bruce Arians. And then I do think James Conner, just based on the touchdown potential, if he gets re-signed by the Cardinals, I think either him or Chase Edmonds does get re-signed by the Cardinals. I want whichever one goes back to that situation. I think they like James Conner more based on what happened in 2021.
I think the Cowboys should sign a running back because they don't have enough money on allocated to the position.
Somehow the Packers are giving Aaron Rodgers, I know it's not $50 million this first year, but let's just say it's $28 million. They're going to franchise tag Devontae Adams, who we're going to get to here in a bit, for $20 million. And they're even farther under the cap than the Cowboys. But we can't keep Amari Cooper. Can't get started on that. I'll be here forever.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Guys, anybody
else? We're going to wide receivers, though, right? So, I mean, let's get started on it.
We don't need to talk about any more of these running backs. Let's go to wide receivers. The trade scenario that we thought might be an interesting one to talk about that ended up not being interesting is the Calvin Ridley news. You know, we had a really busy Monday, and it turned right into an even busier Tuesday. Monday, we find out that Calvin Ridley is suspended for the entire 2022 season for gambling, specifically on the Falcons game after he took his leave of absence. Man, this is tough for me. Obviously, Tom, you and I had a trade where you were pushing for the playoffs. I got knocked out of the playoffs. You know, I wanted to flip an individual that had a really good season named Deebo Samuel that I didn't think would stay at that height. Well, he did continue to stay at that height throughout the playoffs and the rest of that season. And Calvin Ridley is now suspended for the 2022 season. So I definitely lost that trade. But Are you guys trying to get him cheap, like a 2023 third? Is that what you guys would do? Or are you guys just, hey, he's like Christian said, he's going to be 29 when he comes back. I'd rather just take the dart throw on a 2023 or 2022 third.
I'd pay a second for him, like a later second.
Ooh, that's...
Why not?
Why Christian? Not?
I think that's a little rich. Now, the third is a conversation because, like, the odds of a third hitting are pretty low, right?
Who's going to trade confident. A third for him? Are you going to trade a third?
It's happening. It's happening.
I know it is. Times, but
20 times.
Yeah, find that guy.
You do.
Everywhere you got him, offer it to all 11 other managers. I mean, you'll get it, you know?
Yeah.
But my thing is that the odds of the third hitting on, like, say, a wide receiver two season are pretty low, right? Pretty low. I feel like if Calvin Ridley, even if he doesn't play till he's 29, 30, right, those 2 years, we got a shot to get wide receiver two seasons, though, those 2 years, wherever he's playing, right? So I feel that the odds of Calvin Ridley producing a wide receiver two season again for my rosters is higher than a random late third or something like that, right? Now, you're talking late second, you'd pay. That's where you start getting in that conversation area where it could possibly be the case. But as far as a player that's similarly valued right now, I look at like kind of Robert Woods's value right now. He's around that 29, 30 years old, coming off an ACL injury rather than, you know, legal trouble. And I think he's probably in that range too. I don't think you can get a second for Robert Woods. I think he's probably in that third range. Maybe you can squeeze two thirds out of the right person, but I think you'd struggle getting a second. So I think when he comes back, he's looking about where Robert Woods is now, but I think he's shown a higher ceiling as a player than Robert Woods too. You know, like Robert Woods has kind of been a steady Eddie for us. We thought Calvin Ridley was a top five wide receiver coming into last season in redraft. So I think we can possibly get one or two good more seasons out of Calvin Ridley. And to me, it's worth that wait with the third, you know, but with the second, I'm going to take the second because we know we're missing that year of production and there are still concerns whether he will play again or not. And we don't even know where it'll be when he is. And again, he'll be within a year of being 30 at that point. So as far as recouping value, if it's not going well, our window's closed then because he's in his 30s in Dynasty. I'll take this. Robbie, any thoughts for you?
No, I'm giving Tom the chance. This is Tom's guy, unfortunately. No,
so, I mean, I'm
let him brainwash me a little bit, so I'm just letting him defend his honor.
So I will take Calvin Ridley over that late second every day of the week because you get halfway through the season, teams start falling out of the race, and you're going to be able to recoup that value even if you flip him, right? So if he comes back, the odds of you the odds of him outproducing a late second round pick in 2023 are a lot better than that second round pick, in my opinion. Because late seconds at this point, they're dart throws. Come on.
Yeah, to me, the third is a complete dart throw. The late second's where you start getting into like a solid piece potentially. But you know, I mean, as far
it's
as the resale value,
it's still
like,
a big dart throw. What, go back and look at your go back and look at historic drafts. And then tell me a late second isn't a dart throw.
Okay. Cool. Look at players that have been out of the league for a year plus for any reason that have come back and then produced a wide receiver to a better season.
Don't turn my argument around on me. You
I'm using
bitch.
Your tactics on you, sir. I didn't bring up
don't
these
do
tactics.
It.
You did.
Don't do it. But
I'm asking you what
Calvin
Robert
Ridley.
Woods and Odell Beckham are worth right now. Cause that's about what Calvin Ridley is going to be worth when he's back. You paying seconds for those guys?
I think I would pay a second for Robert Woods coming back. Yeah.
Oh God, I would love to be able to
a
tell
late
you
second.
That. I've got way too many. I'm way overweight on Robert Woods, and I can't get a second in any single league I'm in. So
sure.
Apparently, I'll
give
my
you a late second
on the internet
Woods,
are sharper.
Why not?
You train him at the wrong time too, Christian. Right? You know, you get to week one, week two, you're going to get that pick for him.
Oh
you're
yeah,
trading for an older guy in the offseason before the rookie draft. It's just not going
to
happen.
I feel the best way to gauge market value is by putting offers in people's inboxes. Like, yeah. Will you accept this or will you not? Okay, that's what the player's worth to you. The more offers you send to your opponents, the more knowledge you'll have on their market value of their players because you'll get a little feedback back. You'll see what they'll actually accept, what they won't. If you want to know the true market value, send offers.
No, that was a good conversation on Calvin Ridley. I think I'm right there with you, Christian, where I'm at that third round price that I'd try and acquire him. If I have him, I'm holding him. I would not move him, even though I do think that late second is kind of interesting. It's like, just wait. You know what I mean? Just wait the year because I've seen this time and time again where like we lost Chris Carson, right? And everyone's like, Chris Carson's dead to rights, but now he might be the starting running back. And I get it. It's not a great team, but you're going to have a time, hopefully, where some of these guys, you wait the time out and there's going to be that opportunity, right? He's going to be the starter. And then before the games start, just move off of him then. That's my thoughts with Calvin Ridley.
I know we're winning on Ridley, but this kind of puts a bow on the second conversation here with Tom, like, and kind of what you said here. Like, instead of looking at just straight capital that we'll trade him for, what if we were to flip him for another player, right? Like, I would trade him for, like, a Kadarius Toney or a Rondell Moore, who were late seconds last year, right? Like, I would rather take the buy the years back, know that they're playing this year. Rondell Moore's got a chance to be the two on Arizona. Kadarius Toney's got a chance to be the one on the Giants. I think I can have a better chance of one of those two guys seeing a value increase at some point this year and then flipping them than I can Calvin Ridley seeing a value increase just sitting there doing nothing all year. So
give me I like that, but I wouldn't stop there. I'd pull the Christian where I'd trade the number two pencil for that nice pen. I'd trade that nice pen for like the book. You know what I mean? I wouldn't stop with Toney or Rondale because that's not a
start
piece
the chain
I
with
want.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Those guys are more likely to see a value increase playing this year than Ridley is on the sideline.
Correct.
I can flip that. I can put better use to those guys.
Correct. Let's keep going here. We got Davante Adams buys a new house in Vegas. We thought it was maybe a little bit of smoke there, but gets extinguished pretty quickly. He gets franchise tagged, obviously, with Roger staying. He is not going anywhere. I think his value is pretty much going to stay the same, right? An older wide receiver that's obviously top of the league. I don't want to spend too much time on him. Amari Cooper, it sounds like he's going to be released by the Cowboys. I think they're just waiting to see if they can trade him. So they're going to wait all the way up until that deadline where his contract becomes guaranteed. So I do think he finds a new team. Do you guys have thoughts on where he can go? Because in my opinion, this is still maybe not a wide receiver one, but good enough where he can give you wide receiver one numbers if there's nobody else to kind of take those targets. For me, I thought of a team like the Jaguars kind of sliding in and doing what we've wanted, you know, LaVishka, obviously not the same player, but we want LaVishka to kind of take some of those targets. He hasn't really been doing it. Marvin Jones is 32, maybe going on 33 there. DJ Chark's a free agent. I think that's a good spot for him. Where do you guys think Cooper could land?
Honestly, he's perfect for the Eagles.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
That'd be a tough really landing spot, though, wouldn't it? That I would hate that landing spot.
For Amari Cooper, yes. But for the Eagles football team, I could really see that happening. Huh?
We don't care about the Eagles football team. We care about
I'm saying, but that's the problem, right? So they need another wide receiver to take pressure off of Devonta Smith. If they keep drafting young wide receivers, like your wide receiver room is already extremely young. Devonta Smith is by far the best wide receiver they have there. Then you have Quez Watkins. And you know, fucking JJ and Quez are there. JJ and he who shall not be named is also there. But I mean, you need a veteran presence there, right?
Yeah. That's so a good point. Do they have the money?
They do. They have the money.
Because even though this is what's so funny about the NFL is he's gonna get cut for being paid too much money, and he's gonna sign. For what most people are going to say is too much money. I still think Cooper's really, really good.
Mike Williams is not better than him.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's a perfect transition. You can also touch on Cooper, Christian. But let's go right to Mike Williams, too. 3 years, $60 million. You said $28 million guaranteed, Tom. I thought I saw someone that was $40 million.
$28 million in year one and $40 million total guaranteed.
Yeah. So if that's what the going rate for Mike Williams is, and Cooper is only 1 year older, I want to say maybe a year and a half. I mean, we're talking about he's going to get a minimum a 2 year deal, probably $30 million, right? 15 year.
Yeah, I think that's about what he's going to be evaluated at.
So yeah, Christian, Amari Cooper, Mike Williams. Let's throw in some of these other guys with Chris Godwin obviously being tagged. Juju Smith-Schuster. Where do you think he will go? Some of these, I'd say, top tier free agents.
I mean, it feels like Juju is going to stay in Pitt again. I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to say Kansas City or something like that, but that didn't work out last year. So, I mean, it really seems like Juju just wants to stay in Pitt for whatever reason. As far as Cooper, I don't know if they have the money or not, but Washington really wanted him last time he was available. I could see them really pursuing him hard to pair with McLaurin. You know, that'll be appealing to whatever quarterback ends up there. But as far as teams that need receivers, I mean, Atlanta has nobody right now. Russell Gage is a free agent. Calvin Ridley doesn't exist. I mean, Atlanta has nothing. I think that's going to be filled with rookies, you know, big time, though.
Yep.
Cleveland looks like they want a receiver. Detroit's kind of same boat as Atlanta. Outside of St. Brown, there's really nothing there. But are they really going to invest in a free agent with Jared Goff and where they're at as a franchise? You know, New Orleans, it looks like a team that really needs a receiver, you know. Jacksonville and Allen Robinson is a fit I would like to see. Allen Robinson going back to Jacksonville. them getting Trevor, a more proven receiver. Allen Robinson, you know, kind of leaving a headache situation that he's had there in Chicago to come back somewhere he's familiar with and be an alpha again. So that'd be a fit I would like to see.
Let's hit right there. If we take anything away from this podcast, I think for me, now that Jerry Jeudy, he was my buy in the episode I did a couple of weeks ago, number one target you should trade for before free agency hits and he gets signed somewhere is Allen Robinson. I get it. He's one of these older, 28, maybe going on 29, but I definitely think he was in a situation he did not want to be in. I don't think he was giving it his all. He was obviously Justin Fields was kind of a train wreck there with Nagy. You tell me he goes to the Patriots or he goes to a spot where he can command again 150 targets. Let's just be generous and say 120. You know, I absolutely think he can return to high-end wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver one, even if he's not maybe the Allen Robinson we've seen, you know, a couple years ago. I think just pure volume with a team that needs an alpha, he would be fantastic for.
Yeah, we'll see if he follows the money, which I think is what he's going to do.
But money and then a playoff team, right? Because his big thing is he doesn't want to play with bad quarterbacks anymore. You have a playoff team on a young quarterback who showed to be pretty well, doesn't turn the ball over, which I think is his biggest thing. Every time Blake Bortles threw an interception, Mitchell Trubisky threw an interception, you knew he was walking off the field. I think the Patriots is a really interesting landing spot.
I'd hate that. I would hate it.
Jacoby Myers out of the way. They're not giving 100 targets to Nelson Aguilar. Man,
Patriots are gross, Robbie. Don't ruin the pod by
talking
about
you don't want a wide receiver on the Patriots unless it's like Edelman or Welker, like in a wheelchair at this point.
Get somebody there.
Christian, but then they only have slot receivers, so Christian Kirk going there would just be like, I would be so pissed. Right? Christian Kirk is a guy I'm really excited about, though. I want to see where he goes.
A lot of smoke on Buffalo. The Gabe Davis people.
Buffalo definitely needs another wide receiver to go. Yeah. And I think Christian Kirk would be a fantastic fit there. I think Allen Robinson, I think one of those guys could definitely go there, like Amari Cooper. If you want to talk about a guy who, you know, one of those players who can get a ring, Buffalo going over there and being that wide receiver too is perfect. And then maybe even they take a little bit less money. So Buffalo's a good one. The Eagles are probably going to wind up getting one of these guys. That, you know, between Amari, Allen Robinson, Juju, there's a ton of smoke with Juju, Christian Kirk, and then even DJ Chark. You're hearing a ton of smoke with these guys in the Eagles.
So. I hope they get DJ Chark. So,
I'm glad Amari Cooper got cut and it hurt your feelings, and they franchised Dalton Schultz and are going to re-sign Michael Gallup if that's the case.
Oh man,
sir.
Oh man.
So who cut deeper with that insult?
Yeah.
The joke's on me. I follow the Falcons.
Yeah. Gosh.
It really is.
At least you're already have started your rebuild. You just need to get rid of
our quarterback's 37. We haven't started shit.
They're drafting Desmond Ridder second round. Mark my words. That's happening. But guys, let's move to tight end here, put a bow on this episode. Basically everybody got tagged. Gesicki, Schultz. David Njoku, as we all thought, David Njoku, $10.9 million. David Njoku, what a great signing there.
RIP to my 75 Harrison Bryant shares.
real quick, Mike Gesicki gets tagged, right? $10.9 million. You just brought that number up. He played, I think he had 100 snaps in as a tight end.
So, oh, you say inline?
Yes, as an inline tight end. Yeah. They basically just tagged a wide receiver for $10.9 million.
Yeah, it's the Jimmy Graham. Million. It's the Jimmy Graham.
Right. So, I mean, Gesicki getting tagged shouldn't be surprising to anybody, even though.
That rule will change when Kyle Pitts comes up in what, 4 more years? That rule will change.
Look at Mike Gesicki. Anything to penalize the Falcons some way.
But look at Gesicki. If it's going to change, it should be a guy who plays 20% of his snaps as a tight end, or 25%.
Right. Didn't I just say Kyle Pitts or?
Well, no, but this is the exact blueprint, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the blueprint. So you're going to have somebody else. I don't think it's going to change, but I think we already did, Christian. Welcome back to the party. I know you're a Falcons fan.
Let's get Gronkowski to the Bills, baby. Let's go.
Bills are Chargers. Okay. I feel like those are spots.
What about the Titans? If he would go like to not play with his buddies or in his hometown, like Anthony Firkser's trash.
Yeah. any of those options. I think he would. You know, at first I was like, okay, Tom's gone, Gronk's going to be gone, and maybe he still will be. But I think he's like, you know, there's a plenty of playoff teams that don't have quarterback or tight end situations. Packers, are they going back to the Robert Tonyan well? Are they going to go in with Joseph DeGuara? Maybe Gronk fits there. I think there's a lot of good teams that need a tight end. I think Zach Ertz, Rob Gronkowski, Evan Ingram's of the world. I know we don't think those are sexy names, but they can all be top eight tight ends because it's not that hard to do. There's going to be somebody that in a tight end premium or a two tight end league that you're going to want out of this group.
Tom has got to be excited about the Zach Ertz, Doug Peterson reunion in Jacksonville.
There it is.
I hope Zach doesn't do it. But doesn't Gronk belong in LA, either with the Rams or the Chargers? I mean, the Chargers have the most cap space in the league right now.
Correct.
And the Rams are the Rams, and they'll figure it out. Like I feel like he's destined to be in LA. If he's going to play for one more year, Gronk in LA.
Isn't he from Buffalo, though?
Erroneous, sir. That doesn't even matter.
It's his hometown team. He's like a total bro.
Does he really want to go somewhere and play in the cold again?
Bro, all the guys he went to high school with would think he was cool, and he would think it was awesome. Remember when they beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl and he was pouring beers all over himself? He said that the people wanted him to party, so he gave the people what they wanted. The man's a people pleaser.
Right.
He's going to get the peer pressure from his friends back home.
This is true.
What kind he's of people pleaser?
Jumping through a table.
We're going to see Gronkowski go through a table himself.
Multiple
tables. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
Every time they win, Gronk is going through the table.
That would be
pretty cool. With the big brace on the elbow, too, just to protect it, you know?
Right. Would he be like holding his French bulldog though when he goes through, like on fire, like to protect it?
Good.
Maybe he's like, oh my god, that's such a cute TikTok. He's got a French bulldog and he's flying through a table.
Maybe he actually went through tables as a kid, and that's why he's kind of a, you know, not the brightest.
An amazing tight end. Yeah, he's amazing.
And there's no way he can spell Gronkowski. That's funny. Though. You bring that up. I don't know if you guys have ever watched the Family Feud with the Gronkowski family on there. You know exactly where his smarts did not come from. The dad, I don't know his name, but the dad is not all there. It is hilarious.
And that's okay, Robbie. But listen, he's just out there like he's that stud just breeding fucking football players, though.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He's like the definition of like a dumb jock meathead guy. Like,
right. It's like, here you
he's
go.
He's that dude. Yeah.
Here you go.
Hey, guys, let's put a bow on this. Each of you give me one guy. I said Allen Robinson was mine. What's one guy that you think you need to go out and try and get before Monday, before Tuesday, whatever day? And then on the flip side, what's one guy that you might have some shares of that you're like, hey, before someone comes in and crowds this wide receiver room or before he lands in a bad spot, I'm trying to move off of him. Tom, do you got anybody that comes to mind?
Give me Christian Kirk.
As the bye?
As the bye. And the sell will be Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz was part of my sell video, and this was at the time I thought that, you know, the Cowboys had some sense where they weren't going to pay a above-average tight end, I don't know, $10.9 million, when they can sign a Kyle Rudolph or O.J. Howard for $2 million and get roughly the same production. But as Christian knows, I am not the biggest Dalton Schultz believer, but he had a very, very good season. Tom, do you have you had the sell. Christian, do you have a buy and a sell for us?
I mean, I'm with both of y'all on Christian Kirk and Allen Robinson. There's no one jumping top of the mind that's a buy. Jerry Jeudy's a guy I have been buying, but you know that it's kind of time to reap the rewards of that now.
Yeah.
As far as selling,
well, while you're looking for a sell, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to give the name I gave kind of at the top, Jameis Winston. If you can get him for a mid-second would be fantastic. I don't know how many people are doing that because I think he's almost guaranteed a starting job. It's just where. And he's that type of quarterback that he doesn't have to be a great real-life quarterback. He's going to be a really good fantasy quarterback because he's just going to throw down the field so much, get you the yardage, get you the touchdowns, probably some interceptions to go along with it. But then a guy that's super cheap that I think that I would advocate for, just like maybe a late third or fourth, like we're talking about not a lot, Marcus Mariota. I just have a feeling that Marcus Mariota has done enough time where people are going to give him another shot. We see some of these quote-unquote retreads come back up, and I do think there's enough quarterback openings where they're going to we're going to see somebody draft, you know, a late first quarterback or a second round quarterback. Maybe it's a Carson Strong situation. Maybe it's a Desmond Ridder situation where there's no incumbent. And then they also sign Marcus Mariota and he gets a shot to start, where you just get some instant super flex value and then you can turn around and sell for a second. So that's a guy that's a really super cheap one that I'm going to go out and throw some not bad trades, but just like some cheap fourths or late thirds or something like that. See if I can get Mariota.
Yeah, you brought up a guy, Robbie, earlier that I think is a great value right now. And it's not like he's – I mean, he can be affected by Monday based on what happens with Rashad Penny. But I think Chris Carson is a screaming value right now. In the startup that I'm in, I took him at 1907, so pick 223. And with the Seahawks, you know, not going to be too good this year, it would not surprise me to see them just ride Chris Carson another year and us to get some of that cheap volume. And honestly, like a third would get him from pretty much everybody. I mean, if he's going in the 19th round of a startup, that's essentially free. So he's a guy I'd pick up for free. And as far as a sell, I mean, just sell all your running backs that are 25 and above. Like, get rid of them. Like, we were talking about that list of free agents this year, the Fournettes, the James Conners, and all these guys. We've also talked a lot about this incoming running back class. You know, grab you a Tyler Beatty instead. I mean, we saw last year a guy like Khalil Herbert really be a contributor for the Bears. A guy like Chuba Hubbard really step in when Christian McCaffrey was out and give us some serviceable weeks. You know, I just think that running back production can be recycled. I think the NFL believes it can be recycled as well. So, I mean, unless you're a top three team in the league and feel good about a Fournette landing spot or a Connor landing spot potentially happening, you know, I'm fine rolling out a Tyler Allgeier, a Rashad White, a Tyler Beatty, one of those guys in that second tier running backs this year.
Yeah. I want to touch on that point because I think it's really interesting. At a certain point, right, you get past your top three rookies, and we are going to be talking rookie running backs next week. Show's going to drop on Wednesday morning. We're meeting with Brandon Lejeune of the Devy Deep Dive, and he's going to help us go over his rookie running back rankings. Tom and I are going to give some of our input on the film that we've watched as well. So we're going to dive into these rookie running backs a lot. But just because we're talking about them right now, is there a certain cutoff where you say, hey, maybe the potential of James Conner having a running back two season is still going to be better than maybe that Tyler Beatty or that Tyler Allgeier or somebody that's going to be what do you think, a mid to early second round pick in Superflex? I'm assuming you probably want the younger ones, knowing you, Christian. I think at some point it's worth considering, hey, can I get this veteran on a contending team where I don't have to wait and play the dart throw as, you know, Tyler Allgeier is going to land with, let's just say, you know, the Jets, for lack of a better, I'm thinking on the spot here. He lands with Michael Carter, not a great offense. All of a sudden, James Conner coming back to Arizona looks a lot better, right? And he's probably going to be the better asset for at least one, maybe 2 years. Is that how you see it, Christian? Are you like, no, let me just take the younger guy. He's going to have a longer leash to be good with his dynasty value.
It's really team dependent. Like I said, there are certain teams to where you want to go buy the veteran where you know the landing spot. But as blanket advice for dynasty in general, I'm a believer that running back is the most replaceable position in all of fantasy football and in all of NFL football. Like, somebody else can do it. Whether they average a point or two less a game, like, you can still get the production by just getting the volume. And I think that second tier of running backs can give you that volume any given week. Like, who saw Elijah Mitchell and Khalil Herbert last year? Like I said, and those are two different guys. Like, Elijah Mitchell became a starter, and, you know, you probably get a first round pick for him now. But how many serviceable weeks did Khalil Herbert give us last year? At least a month, I feel like, of you know, playable weeks where he was, you know, RB2. You know, so I just feel that price dependent wise, especially, like, I would just side with the guy that has a full rookie contract to play. That's, you know, largely just going to get the same carries that a 26-year-old will get if they're up for carries. Like, I don't think any of these guys are really signing as the feature back, except maybe one of them. You know, maybe a team falls in love with that stretch Penny had at the end of the year. Maybe a team is name struck and loves veterans and wants Leonard Fournette, you know. But outside of maybe those two guys, I don't really see a back getting a featured role. And if they're sharing the load, you know, give me the younger guy that has a full rookie contract that's going to retain his value better for me in Dynasty, because you saw it in the league we played together, Robbie. Like, I'm a week-to-week trader. If I'm trying to win a championship and I have a player go down to a leg injury, I'm not just going to sit there and be like, oh, man, I just lost a player to injury. I'm trading my injured player plus for a healthy player, right? Like, I want the healthy player that week. I'll worry about who it is then. As far as what's going to retain value better, it's going to be the, you know, 22-year-old running back on their rookie deal. And You said I want the younger player. For me, it matters less at running back than it does other positions as far as the age. I just want them on their rookie contract. I don't want to mess with the second contract. So take a guy like Najee Harris from last year that was a little bit older as a rookie. I'm still cool with Najee right now. I got another 3 years left of that rookie contract where I'm good to go. That's an insulated asset. You know, four, was he first rounder? You know, four if he's a first rounder. You know, so I've got X amount of years left of insulation, a value there with Najee Harris despite his age, right? Him and Javonte Williams have that same leash, you know. So the fact that Javonte's younger doesn't mean anything to me there, but comparing the rookie class against these 26, 27-year-olds, I'm siding with the rookie class almost every time, unless there's like a true special back I think can go be a starter somewhere.
Tom, any thoughts on the kind of the rookies versus the vets conversation on is there a price point where you're like, you know what, these vets have done it before. If they get the work, they're going to pop off. Or are you like, hey, this rookie is going to have dynasty value for longer, right? He's going to have it for at least 2 or 3 years until he's shown that he can't do it or can do it.
Yeah, I'm right now with these vets, I'm in a holding pattern because, I mean, we have what, a week before we're going to get some landing spots?
Yeah.
And then after that, then you might want to say, okay, I'm going to throw something out there for somebody. Like, then the draft capital issue with the rookies is more of a mystery. So you might get a better deal, but right now I'm not doing anything for the next week with any running back. And I think it's kind of foolish if you do.
Yeah. And as far as actionable advice, like do not buy running backs now. Like don't consider purchasing a running back until, you know, like August, like,
right.
Don't worry about your lineup now. Now is about accumulating value and, you know, increasing the overall value of your roster. Worry about who's starting 6 months from now, you know.
Christian, I like that thought. The reason I bring him up and the reason I say it's I don't want to be completely saying, hey, you need to buy them right now. But James Conner, if he's an unknown, you can get him for more than, oh, he's the solidified back for the Arizona Cardinals in August. You know what I mean? So if
James Conner re-signs with Arizona and Chase Edmonds leaves, right? Like say it's James Conner and Eno Benjamin. James Conner's still not worth a first. You're not getting a first for him. I can still buy him for a second.
You're
not getting a first for James Conner.
A 2023 first.
No way. Not happening. I can still get the same price on James Conner if I wait until he's Arizona's guy. His price isn't changing. It's still a second.
Whispers 2023 firsts are worth everything.
Yeah. Maybe it's
not that conversation with the first, but it's the players. You know, we talked about, hey, are we trading for another player? Because I think the 2023 class is so propped up on a pedestal where I agree with you guys. You probably can't get that first. But when he's scoring touchdowns and he's that running back one and you see what he's doing, there's going to be people that are going to trade you good, reliable.
There's going to be serious touchdown regression. You can't bank on that.
Oh, for sure. But you're telling me the Cardinals are not going to score if he's the only guy? I don't want to make this all about James Conner because I feel like I'm nitpicking out of the whole list of eight guys, yeah, right?
Well, just
six of them are going to bust and two of them are going to be good. I guess what I'm just saying is I do think that it's – I'm not saying they're over the moon and to be done with them, I guess. And I just want to have that juxtaposed against you guys saying, nah, we're staying away from them. We want to go straight rookies.
Yeah, and I love the market value conversation. You know, that's my thing. And to me, that's like actionable stuff that our listeners can go take to and go offer trades and stuff in their league. So let's take a player that we like a lot that's in that 26, 27, 28-year-old contract range, right? Aaron Jones. Can you get a 23 first for Aaron Jones right now? I'm not sure that you can. A lot of people think he's the two there behind A.J. Dillon. I've shopped Aaron Jones. I don't think you can get a 23 first, and he is so much better than James Conner, Rashad Penny, Leonard Fournette. I think you're really overvaluing what this group of free agent running backs is worth in terms of dynasty value. Like Aaron Jones and Zeke Elliott, like these guys you'll struggle to get a 23 first for. Those guys are better than these guys we're talking about, and I don't think you can get that value for them.
Correct. If we're talking right now, absolutely. If we're talking week three, you can. Absolutely you can, because there's people that lose running backs that have contending teams that need that guy, and they say, hey, the 112, the 110, the 111, I can part with that because I can get Aaron Jones. He just had a new contract. Aaron Rodgers just got re-signed to a new deal. He's going to be good for at least 2 or 3 more years. That's going to be better than the 112, even in a good class. So I definitely think there's a conversation to be had on that side where people are pushing these vets out the door. And if we're talking about it from that standpoint, that makes me even more enticed to get after them. If you say they're not going to cost me that first, if you're telling me I can get an Aaron Jones, Zeke, someone like that for a second, a 2023 second, man, if I'm a contending team, that's so enticing. But I guess that's my point. You in season, I guarantee, well, I don't want to guarantee, I bet you will make a trade for Zeke.
For a Nick Chubb level player. Like for 2023, not James Conner, Leonard Fournette.
2023 first, I bet in one of your leagues you make a trade for a Zeke, Aaron Jones, Dalvin, one of those, Alvin Kamara, one of those 26 year or older running backs. I bet you trade your 2023 first for it. Probably plus, maybe. Too.
I mean, championship flags fly forever. We'll see what happens. But what I'm telling you is most players would rather collect than contend. And Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, these guys in this 23
are going
class,
at the 101,
they will go straight up over Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook. All
we're
these
not
guys
about
by
them
the end
for
of
contenders,
this.
Right?
No, but there's other people in the class. You're going to have Bryce Young and CJ Stroud up top. You're going to have JSN and Kayshawn Boutte. I mean, all the way to like pick 12 is going to be like the top of this class, right? So you're going to have a lot of people that are already valuing the 1-8 over Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara by the end of this season. That's right. What I'm telling you. Like by the end of this season, if I'm going to trade my 23 first, I'm not getting Zeke. I'm getting Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon for that first if I'm waiting until the playoffs to do it.
Yep. Yep. Tom, any thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't even know where I'm at, to tell you the truth. I'm just watching you guys like a ping pong fucking battle. It's kind of fun.
It's good discussion. I mean, it kind of diverted from the free agency, but I think it's a value conversation that's worth having, and a lot of good insight there.
No, it's good. I liked it, guys. I enjoyed myself.
Well, that's it for our free agent prediction and landing spots and value conversation. Really excited to dive into, like I said earlier, our rookie running backs are going to be the first position we tackle. Show's going to drop next Wednesday, getting Brandon Lejeune from the Debbie Deep Dive in here to talk about his ranks. He's a guy that's been watching these guys for multiple years, obviously, in the Debbie role with Christian. So you guys can find Christian rocking with our rookie profiles, which are going to be coming out all summer long as we lead up to the draft. And after the draft, we're going to continue to put those out all the way up until the season starts. Also find him on the Devy Authority. He's going to be going over 2024 rookie classes, 2025 rookie class, and then probably even 2026 rookie class, because you know how those Devy lunatics are. You can find him at Evil Empire FF. And you can find my main squeeze, Tom, at Dynasty Infidel. Find me at NFL Robbie. And find us all in the TFA Discord chat. Link is going to be in the episode description. Come talk some free agency rookies with us. Get in with Christian and I on this value conversation. Rookies versus some of these vets. Link is going to be in the description. So until next time, see ya. One day when the tongue is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the wellerman come, they bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue is done, we'll take our leave and go. We had not been 2 weeks from shore when down under a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon may the whaleman come to bring us sugar and tea.